Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your time and this evening, and all of our guests and staff and board members. We appreciate your participation. With that, I will call the meeting to order. Do I have, and I don't know if you can scroll up, but do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda. This is Madhu.
Madhu, thank you, Madhu. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ken. All right, Ken.
Yeah, hey, aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zina.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye. Is there a, I'm sorry, Thelma, are you a Representative Londale in terms of a board
Yes, I
voting?
am.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Thelma, I apologize. Thelma.
Aye.
Thank you, Thelma. All right, agenda has been approved. Are there any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Okay, are there any presentations from the floor on agenda items?
Can I make a presentation?
Yes.
Is Ken's last day on the agenda or not on the agenda? Which one
Yes,
do I
it's
qualify
the
for?
leadership update.
It is on the agenda.
Okay, then I'll take my 90 seconds right now. Start the clock. I'm in awe of Ken, and he's been a great partner and a teammate and a real advocate for public education. And he gives a damn, and he matters. And I don't think I'm saying anything that anybody on this call doesn't already believe. I've just been selfishly privileged to work with him for a little bit longer, I think, than some of you guys have. And he has been honest and forthright and transparent and a real drive for instilling equity in public education and making sure that there is no difference between our school, ECHS and MiraCosta or any other of the fine, excellent schools in the nation, and that every child deserves an excellent education. As Teach for America made a motto, but it really is what Ken says, and he stands behind it. And it's just been awesome for me to live in his shadows a little bit and to work with him. And I'm just really privileged, and I just feel in his debt in a great deal of ways. And so I just want to stomp my foot on that and say that's really nice to see all of you guys here, and you guys all do the exact same thing. And so, hey, and congratulations, Ken. You deserve this.
That was super nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Good way to kick it off. Fernaz, do you want to continue?
I would love for you to launch it
Yeah.
and
So, as obviously as everyone knows, if you didn't know before, this is Ken's last board meeting. His time as a board member has expired, and he will be moving on to greener pastures. He has been with us since 2007. He was board president from 2012 to 2018, so served for 6 years. I can say personally, and I know Bruce, you said a lot already, and I know others want to talk and provide some insight, but you were a mentor for me. You gave me confidence and comfortability in taking on this role. You welcomed me when I came on, and I appreciate that. So thank you. Just to give some people some insight on Ken, not only was he a former board president, he's currently the vice president, treasurer, chair of governance, finance committees, part of the Menlo Charter properties member and board, academic excellence committee member. he was pretty active in fund development efforts and brought to ECS some of our biggest and most loyal donors. So that's awesome, in addition to all his other activities. And actually, he has also been a very consistent and generous donor himself. So, thank you, Ken, for everything that you've done for so many years. That deck, I will also say, from a goal perspective, is a big part of your legacy. And so, with that, I'll turn it over. But I just want to thank you personally for your mentoring me and being supportive of me over these past 6 years of my time with ECS. So I will turn it over to the Fernaz and the rest of the team.
Well, I just want to respond and say that thank you for all of that. Thank you, all of you. It's really been an honor to be part of this. But the main thing I want to say is I'm really not going anywhere. I'm a big fan of ECS. I plan to stay involved. I plan to find ways to contribute in other ways than serving on the board. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to working with all of you in some capacity. So I feel this is just a bit of a transition to another role. But thanks for all those kind words.
Thank you, Ken. You're going to have to tolerate some more appreciation from us because we have a plan for it. So I'm going to hand off to Allison to share her words.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, y'all, I'm driving, and I'm in Texas with a bunch of 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds. But I wanted to add on to what was already shared. I've been around since Ken first joined the board. And geez, where do I begin? He's been my cry. He's been my coach, my friend, and a critical thought partner through some of the toughest times. As a coach, and I can't get into the details because a lot of it has been, you know, HR stuff or leadership challenges that I specifically had. You're gonna have to tell me, Taylor, when I need to get off and go to the next road. He's been there to listen and ask questions and offer sage advice to me. He was often my cheerleader and confidant.
Allison, you're not being safe. Do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, can you come back to me in a minute? Okay, because I'm almost where I need to be. All right, thanks.
No, when you're there, let us know. I'll go next. I remember meeting you for the first time at Veggie Grill with Bruce, and I remember being so inspired by the two of you that I wanted to find a way to be friends with both of you. And I'm like, sure, I'll join the board because these are the kind of people I want to be around, and look at how inspiring they are. Mm-hmm. You have pushed us in so many ways. And I think that what Bruce said about you wanting our schools to be just as exceptional as any school in any community is true to you. And I thought about what I dreamt about our board being. I think that you naturally do, which is that you are there to challenge and push and ask and probe. And sometimes it feels exhausting to you, I'm sure, to have to ask those questions again. And where's the strategic priorities benchmark chart? Is this really your priority? How are you really measuring it? But you pushed us to the extent that I think we've become a much stronger organization, and we look at data in a different way and constantly probe it and are constantly looking. That benchmark chart has not just been a tremendous gift to me, but it's, I think, becoming a gift to the sector because now we've presented it so many times to other charter organizations who are replicating it. You are truly a good human being. You're humble, you're kind, you're hardworking. Nothing is above you or below you. You're a strategic thinker. You're willing to give hard feedback. And I think you've made this a much better organization just by being here. So we are tremendously, tremendously grateful for you.
Very nice. You. But yeah.
I want to open up to anyone else who wants to share their thoughts before going back to Allison whenever she's ready.
I would like to appreciate Ken for your hands-on support operationally, for bringing us board on track, our board management software, for serving on our finance and governance committees, and really delving into our policies, scrutinizing our finances, and really delivering a lot of value to the organization in a very hands-on way as well. So thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Ken, I just wanted to give you a personal, you know, just a warm big hug virtually, because basically basically you were the first board member to really embrace me and to welcome me into this amazing team. And I just applaud you for all your efforts. Thank you so much for every kind word, every kind encouragement that you gave me. Thank you.
Well, Ken, I just wanted to thank you for being such a great mentor to me, and for pushing the board to look at issues from different perspectives and asking the tough questions, you know, and making me question how I look at different issues. And I want to thank you for being so friendly and kind to me and make me feel at ease for joining the board. So I thank you.
Allison, are you ready?
I am 30 seconds away from being ready. Can you give me 30 more seconds?
Yes. I'll say something in the 30 seconds. I think going from being a teacher and moving into this position, I think that in my work with Ken on the board, like I've never worked with another board, so this is just from where I'm sitting. I think that your way of thinking about board leadership and how the private sector can inform the work of educators and nonprofit and the intersection between private and public sector, I think has really informed my own education about school leadership and possibilities and creative ways of bringing two different worlds together. So I just from a young professional, like the mentorship that maybe you don't even realize that you were providing has been really valuable and also in shaping ECS. Because I feel like I came at the cusp of how things used to be, and I know that you were at that point pushing for us to get here where we are now, and I know at the time like I didn't really have a reference point for it, so I appreciate the push, and I hope that you're proud of where we have come in the intervening years.
Oh, I'm in awe of where you guys have come. It's just amazing. Yeah.
So thanks, Danielle. I'm going to jump back in and I put myself on video because I pulled over. As I was saying, Ken, you were my coach and critical thought partner. You were always there to listen to me and ask me those hard questions that the team has repeatedly stated. You're always looking for different ways of tackling an issue. And you're always also there to offer some sage advice and a hug when needed. You were my cheerleader and my confidant. When I was having a leadership challenging moment, you helped talk me down off of where my headspace was and help me think through the challenges that were facing me to make better decisions and slow me down. And for that, I could not be more grateful. And of course, you were there to celebrate successes, introduce the organization to key people. And I know that in my role when I was where Farnaz is now and Danielle is, I could not have led this organization without you in my corner. I feel the same way about Bruce. And so many of you, Anthony, you two, that have been on this board forever, Zena, Janina, like you guys are rocks. And in my last years, and I know Farnaz mentioned this, as CEO, you pushed us. Farnaz and I sat there and tried to work on a scorecard together. And where we have taken it has really become something phenomenal that, you know, Farnaz said, our authorizers and our funders and our peers all see as something very special. You've also been my friend. And when
you're in a leadership role, it's hard to be sometimes alone at that spot. So you were my skiing buddy. You opened up your home to me at holiday parties, on election nights. Our home to all of ECS's community. Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas. I became part of your family and you were part of mine. And I can't thank you enough for joining me and this organization on this journey. Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Yeah. Once again, I'm not going anywhere. We're still friends. We're still go skiing. So thank you. But thank you for that.
There's a lot of beautiful messages coming through in the chat. Wow. So really worth reading, Ken. I just want to say, I have one last thing. Four disciplines of execution, everybody. We studied it at Achievement First, but Ken recommended the book, and it was the book that led so much of our activity and thinking for so long. So Ken, again, the source of wisdom that was the backbone of ECS. So thank you, Ken. Today is also the last board meeting for another exceptional leader here. We've celebrated her a lot amongst the staff. I've let you guys know that she's going to be leaving, and we have celebrated her a little here, but I would be loath not to mention the exceptional leadership of Casey at the high school. She will not be serving as the principal after this point. So I just want to truly, Casey, I want to appreciate you for being here, even though this is your very last board meeting, and just really celebrate your leadership with everyone here. You've accomplished so much. The high school is a beautiful, beautiful place, and you've nurtured and loved it with so much of your energy. So I want to sincerely appreciate you on behalf of the team and the board. Thank you. And I know we have to keep the agenda going, but I just wanted to make sure that we recognize both of these exceptional leaders during our leadership session. So thank you both. And with that, I will share my screen again. And you're up, Dorothy. Do you want to share your screen?
Oh, wow. I didn't know I was going to follow that directly. Yeah, but I also want to, I'll share my screen. I also wanted to thank Ken and along with Bruce, because I think you both did an amazing job like shaping the board. And you guys are one of the boards that I like to bring like new hires to, because I think you guys are so functional and respectful and inclusive. I don't know, just one of, I think, like the best examples of a successful charter organization and everything you model. So. Okay, well, this is not as exciting. Well, I mean, maybe for some people, but it is overall good news. So let me just share my screen. Oh, I'm not sharing. I'm gonna go a little quick on this current year because I only have 10 minutes and we covered all of it anyway in finance committee. But just a note on this current year, it was a big improvement with the middle schools, because with the May revise, we were allowed to dip into or be able to use prior year ADA. So that actually gave the middle schools a lot of extra money to help offset, a lot of additional expenses too. So that was good news for this year. And also I wanna give a nice little shout out to the high school at Gardena, because their P2 ADA was actually better than what we had projected. So that is very difficult to do, especially just, in your first year and on top of COVID. All right, so moving into next year's budget, we did base the budget on the governor's May revise, which did have an almost 10% increase in LCFF. Most of this is because of a statutory COLA, and then he also proposed a base grant increase. He did include this one-time discretionary grant, which was a big surprise. And then it did include three options for what schools could use for ADA for this year. Just a visual look on how the COLA has progressed in the last 6 months. In January, we thought it'd be, you know, just over 5%. And then we got news that there's the statutory COLA came out, and that was the minimum. So we knew we would get at least 6.56. And then with the May revise, he added the extra money. So that got us that extra 3% to almost 10%. A look at kind of, you know, historically how COLA has been. You know, this year it was a super COLA at 5%. What we're projecting, you know, for the out years, and it's pretty positive. And I guess, yeah, so it's good news. An interesting, I guess, fact about the one-time funding proposed is that it is the largest and more than all the other years combined. So if this comes through, I think there is an option you can spend it over multiple years, but it's a lot of money. What I think we were hoping for, but wasn't included, was any kind of STRS and PERS relief, because the school's contribution will be increasing next year. So STRS is going up from, you know, about 17 to 19%. And then PERS, which only Lawndale has, is going from about 23 to 25. So the two legislative houses did have different proposals in terms of what they wanted to do for LCFF. And you can see the governor's was actually the most conservative and the lowest. So the legislature ended up approving a version where they are saying LCFF is 16%. They slightly increased the one-time funding. They did take away one of the options for ADA, but the environmental schools weren't using the other one. And then the middle schools, they get this extra money for the Expanded Learning Opportunities Program, and they were going to give a little bit extra. So instead of this $2,500, the middle schools would get $3,000 because of where their duplicated percentages. So that was positive. However, everybody knows that, yes, the legislature passed this, but they are still working out with the governor what exactly the state budget will be. And he does have line item veto. So we may not know right away what it really will be look like, but at least we know our assumptions are the most conservative, so we have a lot of upside. So moving into what our exact assumptions, we did use that almost 10% for LCFF. We did not include any one-time state money, and we did assume the lower expanded learning money. So high level, this is what the schools look like. Knowing that we're probably going to have to revise this in a couple of months. So looking at some funding driver assumptions, it's pretty much a pre-pandemic assumption with in terms of enrollment and the attendance percentage. The high school, Gardena, they're doubling in size. So theirs is twice as much as this year. But otherwise, everything is pretty much on par than what it would have been 2 years ago. So here you can see, you know, what are the big revenue changes. If it's a positive, that means we have more of it next year compared to this year. If it's negative, we have less of it. So you can see LCFF, it's higher at all the schools, really because of COLA and ADA. The one-time federal is also higher because we plan to use all of SR2, some of SR3. And then you do see this going down here at Lawndale, and that's just because of the Department of Ed grant. This one-time state is going to be lower next year, mainly because this year we got the in-person instruction grant, the ELO G money, and then this year we next year we will only really have the educator effectiveness, and at Lawndale some A through G money. The big drop in local is because of the PPP forgiveness, but overall, still more money than this year. In terms of expenses, if it's positive, that means the expense is higher next year compared to this year. If it's negative, that means we expect it to be lower. So in compensation, obviously all of the salaries would go up because of the second column as well as COLA. We did, there are a number of positions were also added at the CMO level. There's, you know, adding an SLP, a substitute, a school counselor, an environmental education lead, student outreach and community partnership and development associate, and an operations and compliance coordinator. And a lot of these new positions are to align with the one-time money.
Dorothy, I think Beth had a question in the chat box.
Can't see it. Oh,
I'm sorry. I just, forgive my ignorance. Are these percentages?
This is in thousands. So Lawndale, their certificated expense is going up by 280,000.
Is that just a projection or do we know for sure?
Well, that's based on the current staffing and new positions.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess it could be different if the position isn't yet filled and whatever salary that person comes in at.
Okay.
So Lawndale's also adding an intervention specialist and a long-term sub, some paraeducators. Their books and supplies drops because they bought a lot of computers this year. And then there's a big drop also in services and other, because we also expect to be using less substitutes with bringing someone on staff. At Gardena, the middle school, we plan to spend less money on books and supplies as well as substitutes. At Inglewood, we're adding a full-time ELD and some full-time TAs in handwork, math, and green ambassadors. And then most of this bump of the increase in services and other is for rent. And then the high school really is just increasing because they're doubling in size. There are just, some comparative percentages if you want to look at revenue, how revenue looks at all the schools. And I also have that for the expenses and the cash. We do know when we're going to be prepared with the high school's cash situation. I know Tracy is working on the line of credit application, so that will definitely be a big help, but it's definitely something we're aware of. Are there any questions? I also want to add, Tracy did test that the budget worked with the loan covenants, and it does.
Any questions for Dorothy? Thank you, Dorothy. And Tracy, for your work on it. So our next item is the LCAP presentation. This is the home office team. We've done some work to try to get it within this time period. So let's see if we can do that. Ready, Robert?
Yes, I am. Hi, everyone. So a couple of months back, we presented a preliminary version of the LCAP. And since then, the home office team has continued to develop them with input from the ECS cabinet. So today we're going to give you an overview of them. In case you would like a refresher of what the LCAP is, you can review this slide, but I'll just remind you that in the LCAPs, we review our annual measurable outcomes and update them for the coming year. Next slide, please. I'll also remind you that we have three goals on our LCAPs. We call those goals outcomes, culture, and operations for short. They were written to align with the priorities of the California Department of Education and ECS's strategic plan. This past school year, 21-22, was the first year of our current three-year plan, which was first presented to you back in the spring of 2021. This year's LCAPs review the annual measurable outcomes for this past school year, i.e. the first year of the plan, and update the plan for 22-23, which is the second year of the plan. We're still waiting on a few data points, most importantly, the CASP results. Generally, the state provides that data in early July. So today, we'll review our other AMOs and we'll present the remaining AMOs at a future board meeting. We're also going to review our expenditures in 21-22 and the proposed budget for 22-23. So we'll begin with ECHS Lawndale. The metrics we're using to measure our progress are in the first column. Baseline measurements from before the start of the plan are in the second column. The data for this current year that just passed is in the third column, and our final targets are in the last column. Lawndale's done a really great job with the reclassifications this year. In fact, you're going to see that all our sites really did. Lawndale exceeded both their baseline and their target for the 3 years. For perspective on this, the statewide annual reclassification rate is actually just around 14%. So it's been a banner year at Lawndale. Lawndale has also made progress toward their target percentage of ELs who make progress on the LPAC assessment. Overall attendance rates were about the same as the prior year, but chronic absenteeism rates remained high due to COVID quarantining. There were no dropouts. Suspension rates were lower than both their pre-pandemic baseline and their three-year targets, and no students were expelled. Finally, we readministered our climate survey in the spring and saw a 6% increase in the percentage of students who feel the school is safe and a 4% increase in the percentage who feel connected to the school. And now moving on to ECMSG. Like Lawndale, they exceeded their English learner reclassification baseline and their three-year target. The percentage of students making progress on the LPAC remained about the same. COVID quarantining adversely impacted ECMSG's attendance. Overall attendance rates were somewhat down, and chronic absenteeism increased sharply. There were no dropouts, no suspensions or expulsions. And ECMSG also received positive results on their spring climate survey. 10% increase in the percentage of students who feel the school is safe, and an 8% increase in the percentage who feel connected to the school, both of which exceed their three-year goals. So moving on now to ECMSI. Like Lawndale and ECMSG, they exceeded their English learner reclassification baseline and their three-year target. Oh, wait, sorry, looking at the wrong slider. They reclassified as fluent 11 out of their 62 ELs this year, so that's 18%. Not only is it higher than their baseline, they met their three-year goal. Like ECMSG, they were adversely impacted by COVID quarantining. So overall attendance rates were down and chronic absenteeism increased. There were no dropouts, no expulsions, and just a couple of suspensions. Like the other sites, Inglewood received positive results on their spring climate survey, a 14% increase in the percentage of students feeling the school is safe, and a 17% increase in the percentage who feel connected. Finally, our new high school. As I mentioned the last time we reviewed all this stuff, this is ECHSG's first year, and therefore there's no historical baseline data for these metrics. So we're creating those baselines now. The targets that you see here were based on historical data from our Lawndale High School and Gardena Middle. ECHSD has reclassified two of its 12 English learner students for a 17% reclassification rate. Another's expected to reclassify this summer, which would bring that to 25%. Historically, ECS's reclassification rate for ninth graders is about 19%. So this is a strong start for ECHSG. Their attendance rate is about the same as Lawndale's. Chronic absenteeism is higher than we'd like, but again, that is due to the pandemic. No dropouts, no suspensions, no expulsions, and once again, great climate results. 70% of students feel the school is safe, 67% feel connected to the school, and both of those exceed the three-year goals. That brings me to the end of our AMOs. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll hand it over to Tracy.
All right. So the first part of my portion of this presentation is reviewing the budget expenditures from this current fiscal year that we're just closing. We have more detailed slides after this with each differential in a given action. So if you want to review that a bit and ask me any questions, that's great. But I will just present out to you some of the major themes that we saw across our sites of what we're now projecting for actuals for 21-22 versus our original budget that was approved about a year ago. So the themes across the sites were that we added compensation for a lot of existing employees in the form of bonuses, stipends, and increasing hourly rates to help with employee retention, which is something that is a big concern of ours and we see happening across the sector. So we're trying to avoid issues with retention. So we moved a lot of money over to our existing staff. And so that's why some things are over budget in some categories. However, we also did not make some budgeted hires. So the sites had budgeted for interventionists/instructional coaches it was decided we would not hire. Also social worker clerks, it was a strategic decision not to hire those. So some of the under budget stuff was related to that. We also really ended up focusing a lot of money on the books and supplies category, the 4000 series. So all of the sites put a lot of money into computers, both because we were at a time period where a lot of our computers needed to be replaced, and also because computers were going home with students. We needed more and we needed to replace them a bit more frequently than perhaps if they were staying at school. And we obviously spent a lot of money on COVID testing. And we also increased our budget to provide for advisory supplies. Another area that you'll see went way over budget is substitutes, largely due to COVID, also due to some leaves, but COVID quarantining, et cetera, really meant a lot of substitutes were needed. And also special ed consultants were over budget generally at most of our sites. ECHSG also added capital expenses, and we talked about that last time, so that's not really a change from the last time I presented, but you will see a big differential in capital expenses at the high school in Gardena. So Farnaz is going to go pretty quickly through the line-by-line detail, and please stop us if you have questions. Oops, I think... Farnaz, it's not showing your screen anymore.
Sorry about that. I was just trying to unmute myself, but I really just wanted to call to your attention that everything that Tracy just highlighted here are the items that show significant differences in the difference column. Some of these have really minuscule changes from what we budgeted and what we actually spent, but the significant shifts are what she outlined. So I'm going to go quickly through them. you can see that's a significant shift right there that she highlighted. Is quite a bit. We just wanted to make sure that you had a chance to see, but the major themes were captured in Tracy's presentation. And with that, I just wanted to open up to any questions about the themes in the budget that we covered already. Tracy, have I gone too far?
Nope, there will be another summary slide there. Coming up after ECHS Gardena.
So any questions about the variations between what was budgeted and what we actually spended? And the themes were very consistent across sites in general.
All right, so
Can I ask a question? I'm probably out of turn by doing this, but I'm gonna log off afterwards. But I was just kind of curious, how are we doing from a special education perspective as far as a percentage per school? And I noticed that you're spending less budget-wise than you had planned. And so do we have a higher percentage than we anticipated? Are we tracking to that? I didn't see it presented in the LCF.
The percentage
Most of the sites we are spending actually over budget on special education. Depends on the, you know, by action, it might vary. We ended up spending more in consultants and then in a little less on PD than we expected.
Mama, we need you.
Okay, I'm not done yet though, so go ask Daddy for help.
No, he's not gonna open all packages.
Daddy's fail a lot, yeah.
Oh yeah. But generally speaking, we ended up spending quite a bit on consultants. But as far as a percentage,
what are we running per school percentage of special ed? I guess that's kind of my question.
Off the top of my head, I think that the newest high school has the highest percentage of students with exceptionalities. I think close to 20%. Robert, do you have the data accessible right at hand?
I'll have it for you in just a second.
HS Lawndale has the lowest percentage. ECMS Gardena has a higher percentage than the Inglewood. The percentages are higher than normal at this point, and I think it's linked also to our recruitment efforts and the lottery, but also a reputation for being really good at delivering services to students with exceptionalities and significant needs. But we had, just like every other charter school and every other district school in the county, it has been exceptionally difficult hiring educators, especially educators who work with students with exceptionalities. That's I went to a recent meeting and was in a breakout room, and one of the leaders was crying because they really don't know how they're going to meet the needs next year given the gaps in hiring, especially in special ed. So because we weren't able to hire all the positions that we needed, we ended up using consultants more.
Thank you.
Robert, did you have exact data?
Yeah, I was just about to put it in the chat, but ECHSG is at 19%. ECHSL is at 10%. ECMSG is at 15%. And ECMSI is at 11%.
That's remarkable. 20%.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, my hat's off to you guys, I'll tell you. Really remarkable work you've done.
Well, you mentioned that ECHSG was the highest too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the smallest school, so it's the hardest one to fill a position for because you can't share positions necessarily. So that makes sense to me. And over time, that should come down because you'd be able to hire full-time positions. So it's interesting that it aligns with what I would expect.
Yeah.
the percentage of students won't go down based on who we hire, Allison, right? Is that what you're saying, or am I misunderstanding you?
I'm saying that it's harder to hire. I mean, Farnaz, do you want to try?
Yeah, I think it's just that when you have a larger student population, you can hire more staff to employees to be spread across the student population. But when you have a smaller student population with multiple needs, then you end up using consulting services a little more.
Okay, exactly what I was trying to say.
Sorry, but the rates that Robert just shared are the percentage, that's the population, not the percentage of the, okay, thank you.
I would say we expect the rate of, sorry for not chiming in earlier, I didn't know I was supposed to or allowed. I would say we expect the rates at Gardena High School probably to remain considerably higher than Lawndale due to the feeder schools around that area having higher special education populations. So since we get more kids from Gardena Middle School, also our primary feeder to Gardena High School, right, which has a higher SPED percentage, I would expect the SPED percentage to remain higher, although 20% is extremely high. So we'd hope to be probably around like 15%, I would say is a little more sustainable. But I guess that remains to be seen and how the future kind of goes. But we're definitely expecting higher rates at Gardena High School.
Okay, Tracy.
Okay, so in addition to the review of LCAP action expenditures versus budget, we are also doing what is called the parent budget overview at this meeting. So at the parent budget overview, we look at the 21-22 actuals expended on our high need students. And we also look at the 2022-2023 expectations. So for 21-22, the unduplicated students were at most of our sites, the percentage of unduplicated students was actually a little bit lower than we had anticipated, with the exception of Inglewood. But so while the overall expenditure is lower than what was budgeted, this is primarily due to the fact that we had fewer unduplicated students than expected. So really the amount per student wasn't lower. It's just that we had fewer students. Then with regard to 22-23, which is the bigger column, really the main thing that they like us to point out on this section is the expenditures not in the LCAP. So the main reason that we have some numbers and the expenditures not in the LCAP is because of depreciation. So at some of our sites, their depreciation is higher than capital expenditures. So that's when you'll see a positive number there. Basically, we don't talk about depreciation in the LCAP. So those expenses aren't in there. So that's the reason that it looks like their expenditures not in the LCAP, but really these expenditures are just depreciation expense, which is from capital expenditures that were done years ago. When we see a negative number there, it's because their capital expenditures are exceeding the depreciation, and we didn't necessarily talk about all of the capital expenditures in the LCAP. So that's really ECHS Gardena, I think, and ECMS Gardena. So you can see Inglewood is essentially the same because their capital expenditures are matching their depreciation, coincidentally.
Any questions from Tracy on this? This is complicated stuff, and it's also required by for us to present it in this information in this meeting. So just we appreciate your patience with all this data and information. Any questions at all? Okay, thank you, Tracy.
All right, so now we're gonna move away from the numbers and we're gonna discuss some changes to our LCAP going forward. What I'd like to do is point out our overall needs that we've identified across the organization, some site-specific needs that we'll address in the future, as well as some minor modifications to the goals that we originally articulated. So after reading and editing the full reports for our high schools and our middle schools, which is a fun process, there are two consistent themes that came up repeatedly. The first is that all sites would like to increase their CASP proficiency rates in English for our Black and African American students, those with exceptionalities, and our English language learners. Along the same lines, all sites are working to increase math scores for the same subset of students that I just articulated. However, when it comes to sites, we did identify some different needs. Tracy addressed this, as did Robert a little bit. At Lawndale, there was a slight decrease in graduation rates for our students with exceptionalities and our English language learners. At our middle school in Gardena, we saw absences occurring more frequently amongst our Black and African American students, those with exceptionalities, and our English learners. Along the lines of attendance, we also saw a higher rate of Black and African American students leaving the school than others. So we're going to want to look at this going forward. In Inglewood, we've monitored academic growth and achievement with the NWEA MAPS. And for those who don't know, it's that personalized assessment tool that allows us to look at each student's learning level, and we can evaluate their individual progress. And while our reading scores have remained constant, we're seeing a slowdown in the overall growth, particularly for the students that are identified on this slide. And finally, at our new high school, it's a founding year, so we don't have dashboard or CASP proficiency rates to compare to, but we can look at neighboring districts that serve similar students and we can extrapolate. So we hope to exceed proficiency levels in both English and math for the students here. But if we don't, we're going to identify those students who didn't master the course level, and we will provide interventions. In a nutshell, these are the specific LCAP action steps going forward that we're going to prioritize in order to ensure our students' future successes. And finally, as we return to a new normal, because we will, and COVID rates will decline, we anticipate less health and safety disruptions in addition to fewer staffing shortages. That will in turn allow us to fully address that, which we couldn't do in year one because of the pandemic. So going forward, there's a couple of modifications that we're going to make to the articulated goals org-wide. The biggest one is actually in goal one, which is our outcomes for all students. We anticipate and we expect to determine the role of teacher-created versus adopted curriculum. We're going to audit our existing intervention systems. We're going to articulate best practices to serve as a foundation for our academic MTSS. And we're both going to develop and draft an organization-wide vision for MTSS, which will help us identify the students in need and provide appropriate interventions. What I do want to highlight is in goal two and three, our sites actually did really well, and there's really no changes to report. I think this year in particular, everyone worked so hard to ensure programming, engagement, operations, and facilities, and to make sure they remained both mission aligned and they continue to meet the learning goals and the achievement goals that we had set out. Are there any questions? In this year's LCAP, there's also various prompts that we have to answer as they relate to state and federal funding. The first prompt applies if ECS doesn't account for all of the funds used in the LCAP, but as Tracy explained, all monies were clearly delineated and they were recorded in our report. Prompt two is an interesting one. It asks about additional funds for unduplicated students. Most districts need to explain their allocation because they receive one pool of money that they then distribute to a number of other schools. However, ECS, each of our site gets its own allocation, so they get their own pool of money, and there isn't a separate distribution that needs to be reported or accounted for. Does that make sense? Great. We've mentioned this a number of times, but this was an exceptionally challenging year. So we made efforts to involve our stakeholders in the decision-making process every step of the way. And this prompt illustrates the extensive collaboration and the working groups that we engaged in throughout the reporting period. And as previously mentioned, it was more important than ever to return to this pre-pandemic school experience. And we did that by you know, looking at our mission and two priorities that are both listed here. We have our advisory, Every Child is a Blessing, and implementing high leverage instructional best practices. And I want to highlight the key successes in the implementation of these priorities. We did have low absentee rates overall. We had incredibly low COVID transmission rates and spread. We had high retention of our students and staff, and we made some key hires, including the entire health and safety team, as well as our social workers on each site. Ironically, the biggest challenge we faced was actually hiring new staff to meet the federal funding goals, which included the hiring of an additional school psychologist. And finally, it's no surprise, but ECS uses our fiscal resources in a manner that's both consistent and aligned with our LCAP goals. We're really good about that. So this slide shows a skeleton breakdown of what we did for each of the goals articulated. Goal number one, as you remember, is the outcome for all students. Goal number two is our culture of care. And goal number three is facilities and operations. And that's it.
We just wanted to create some space for any questions anybody has from this entire LCAP presentation. I want to appreciate this team for doing a very thorough report in the time allotted. So thank you, team. But any questions for them? Okay, sharing screen.
Can I just congratulate them on putting together such an awesome presentation and very well articulated? I'm very, very impressed.
Thanks, Allison. Excellent. Thank you. So we are here, Anthony. Oh, sorry.
Do you want me to turn that over to someone who's going to discuss that piece of it, or how would you like me to handle that?
I can comment on that, Anthony.
Okay.
So this section here is required by statute. We have a public hearing that we noticed across our public sites, our website, and other places to invite the public to comment on our LCAP, on our four LCAPs, and suggest changes or make any feedback that they would have. I don't believe there's any members of the public present today. However, we can, within the community here, this could also be a space to make comment on anything that we've seen in the LCAP. And if there aren't any comments, we can close the section here and move on to the next.
And you sent some documents earlier today for people to review as well, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. Back last week, the original versions of the LCAP and some revisions this morning to the board.
Any questions, comments, concerns from anyone on the call regarding any of these items right now?
I'm going to make an ask to our board members right now. Actually, I think that the biggest challenge that we face as we head into this year, and I think it's the biggest challenge that any district in the country is facing, or charter school in the country is facing, is recruitment. We have an exceptional team. We have higher levels of retention than almost any other charter schools that I'm aware of. But at the same time, sort of the natural movement of teachers that happens every year, and some teachers who wanted to leave prior to COVID but stuck it out for the last few years, we have some openings definitely in special education as well. So I'm going to ask, actually, as you saw that one of our shortcomings is recruiting at the rate that we need to in order to be able to support our students. As you go on LinkedIn, as you go on your social media, We're going to offer you some communications that you can share out, but also if you can share our LinkedIn posts, if you can talk about ECS with your peers and friends and keep ECS in mind every time you meet an awesome teacher, that would be a tremendous assistance to us, especially teachers who work with students with exceptionalities. That's a significant gap that we're facing. Okay, any questions at all? I don't want you to hesitate. Well, thank you.
Okay, I thought that was a comment from the public. All right, moving on to consent items. For those who are new to these calls, we typically make a motion to approve, and then we go back through to have any question, comments, or concerns. So I will ask for a motion to approve consent items A through N.
I move to approve consent items A through N. This is Madhu.
Thank you, Madhu. Do I have a second?
This is Janina. I second the motion.
Thank you, Janina. So I will open it up to any questions, comments, concerns. If any staff members want to discuss any items specifically, we'll open that up.
I think there was one item here. Specifically wanted to call out item G, the board resolution supporting safe gun storage.
Sure, Maya, I'll take it from there.
Yeah.
This was actually brought to our attention after the Uvalde incident, and as a cabinet, we were looking at various safety measures and protocols that we could instill at our campuses and at home with our parents and our students and our staff to ensure safety. And a few years ago, I actually helped draft a resolution for MBUSD supporting safe gun storage. Around 2019, LA Unified and other districts passed something similar. The premise is really simple. It's unfortunately more often than not, student shooters gain access to firearms that were improperly stored at either their home or their family members' residence. And there's actually a legal obligation by way of a California Penal Code that makes somebody criminally liable if they don't keep their firearms in a locked container. So the board resolution not only identifies some of these national tragedies that have haunted our society, but it proactively says that we as a district will create an acknowledgement form that lets all parents know that if they own a gun, it has to be safely stored. We're not infringing on the right to bear arms. We're just saying, if you own a gun, we want you to store it safely. And the form, the acknowledgement form that we're thinking about creating could be in a student handbook. It could also be sent home with the registration paperwork that the parents have to read and complete before school begins. Ideally, we'd also like to link families to community resources that may also help them with proper firearm safety. But it's just a number of steps that we're taking to ensure our campus safety. Are there any questions with that?
This is a side question maybe, but is it considered or defined safely stored if a student has access to the code to open the storage?
That's a nuance, and I can double check the penal code for you and get back to you on that one.
I was always curious about that because I believe that a previous shooter actually, it was safely stored and he had the code to get into the storage.
Right. And I think in that case, that would probably still make the guardian or parent criminally liable for giving the child or the minor the code, for sure. The idea is, again, we want to own your gun. That's fine. I'm not telling you not to have your firearm, but if you're going to do it, make sure it's stored properly. Have it, you know, high up, have it locked, make sure you're keeping the key away from any minors, hands.
Okay. Thank you.
This will of course come with some parent education and communications about this and hopefully links to resources about gun storage, but also gun buybacks that happen in the community. Unlike Jenna, I'm going to be a little less PC and say we would love for our families not to have guns, even if it is their Second Amendment right. So to deliver resources that would encourage people to not only lock them away, but if they do want to get rid of them, that they can. So that's going to be one of many, many safety measures. You've seen updates from me and about the safety efforts, but we're hoping to implement a good number of them in the fall, through the summer and in the fall. So with that, are there any other questions about the A through N?
All right, thank you, Al. Fair enough. all right, Ken.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Thelma.
Aye.
And Anthony, consent items A through N have been approved. Moving on to action items, we will again do a motion to approve and then have any of the individuals listed here discuss any of the action items. So if I may get a motion to approve action items A through C, I believe. Is there a D? I think there's just an A through C, correct? Oh, D, I'm sorry.
I think
you should do them one by one, Anthony.
I'll go
number one.
Sure.
So the first one is to approve our local control accountability plans. You saw them in the presentations. You've seen them in report form. And we want to just welcome your feedback and then also request a vote to approve those plans at this time.
Any questions, comments, or concerns regarding action item A? Do I have a motion to approve action item A?
I'll make a motion to approve action item A.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
I'll second Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Ken?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thelma?
Aye.
Anthony? Aye. Action item A has been approved.
Actually, here are our budgets. I wanted to be transparent with you all that while we were conservative in our budgeting, we have definitely pushed our salaries for our educators and staff to a height that was a little bit anxiety provoking for me, because I project out into the future and to years when we won't have as many federal and state subsidies that are short term and temporary. So I believe that we are still sustainable and that the budgets we've put forth before you are sustainable. But I do want to make you conscious of the fact that we are constantly aware of the fact that our biggest assets are our employees, and that we have to do what we can to retain them, because we put a lot of effort into training them and nurturing this culture that we have in our schools. So to that end, we did invest significantly there in our budgets, and you did see smaller buffers than you may have seen in prior years. If, in fact, the budget comes out closer to what the legislative arm is projecting, then we may come back to you with additional additions. But at this time, we believe that we've put something both sustainable and conservative, and hopefully we'll be able to retain a large number of our employees in this way. The other thing that's in there is an increase in benefits, but as I shared with Anthony earlier this week, benefits are proving to be a significant challenge for us, and we will expect to use the entire projected increase for that, if not a little bit more, so there may be a shift there. But with that, I wanted to open up for any questions and vote to approve the budgets that were put before you.
I'll just say, Farnaz, I know you specifically have done a lot of work on this, and your staff and your people are very deserving. So I just want to say I'm glad we were able to do this in support of them and your staff. So I know a lot of work went into it.
Thank you, Anthony. I want to do a special thank you to both Tracy and Dorothy for their partnership in this work. And I also really appreciate the number of employees who came to the presentation and engaged in conversations about the budget and gave feedback on it. So it felt like an inclusive, thoughtful process, and we did make shifts based on the feedback we received.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns before we take a motion? Okay, do I have a motion to approve action item B?
I move to approve action item B.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Janina, I second the motion.
Thank you, Janina. Ken?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Zina?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thelma?
Aye.
Anthony, aye. Action item B has been approved. Action item C, Robert or Jeremiah, if you wanted to discuss anything regarding C.
Sure. Yes, I can briefly comment. These California school dashboard local indicators, they're a newer development as of the last few years. Our schools self-report on these local indicators that are showed there in the link. And this year, you know, there were not very many changes to our self-reporting just because it is the first year coming back after the pandemic in person. And we would like to spend more time thoroughly rating our local indicators next year on a more normal year. But be that as it may, yeah, the local indicators are rated there, and if approved, they will show up on the California school dashboard this December.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Questions, comments, concerns before we move to a motion? Okay, do I have a motion to approve action item C?
I'll move to approve it, action item C.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Madhu. Ken?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Zina?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thelma?
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. Consent item C is approved. Consent item D. Danielle, if you wanted to discuss anything.
Yeah, just quickly, and can I share my screen?
Is that, of course.
Okay. Oh. Just want to show you, this was in your packet, but just wanted to make sure. This is the academic calendar, and you can look at the individual calendars per site. Based on feedback we've gotten from the board over the years, there's this summary page on the top that helps you see the comparison of what the bottom line for each school is, where we are in terms of meeting the minimum number of instructional minutes, the minimum number of instructional days, the number of PD days we're providing, parent conference days, et cetera, and teacher work days. So you can compare year to year. And the bottom row is basically is what next year, or what it means for our calendar. And the things I just want to highlight are the things that are in bold. For ECHSL, we're seeing an increase in instructional minutes going from only five over the state minimum to 860 minutes in excess next year. We're increasing the number of parent conference days from 3 to 4. And the total number of teacher work days is reducing down to 195 from 196, which will match all four schools. At ECHSG, only our second year of operation, you'll see a decrease in instructional minutes and matching up with the same number of, we're meeting them, exceeding the minimum number of days by one, matching everything else at Lawndale. I anticipate in a future year, we're gonna see more alignment between the two schools in terms of the number of instructional minutes. But since we're in founding year number two, and we have limited space, we are still working out how to how to replicate the Lawndale schedule at ECHSG. For the two middle schools, you can see ECMSG here and ECMSI. The only significant change is there's a decrease in instructional minutes at both schools by about 2,000, give or take. And that is so that we can shorten the school day so that teachers and or students are being released at 3:15 to enable more after-school collaboration for teachers. And we're still exceeding the minimum number of instructional minutes, which is 54,000 for the year, by almost 9,000 at both schools. So we're still well above the minimum, but there is a decrease from this year. That's it. And I'll stop sharing my screen unless there's any questions.
Thank you. Well done and exceeding still, even though it's not as much. Okay, if there are no questions, comments, or concerns, we'll move to motion for consent item D. Do I have a motion?
I motion to approve item D, Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Do I have a second?
I second, Madhu.
Thank you, Madhu. Ken?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Thelma?
Aye.
Anthony? Aye. Consent item D has been approved. And I don't want to do E, but I guess we have to.
Ken, can't we just forego it and extend you for another year?
And of course, any questions, comments, or concerns aside from Farnaz's comments? All right. Unfortunately, we'll have to get a motion for this. So do I have a motion?
Wait, I want to second Farnaz's motion.
Though we have no voting capability here, obviously.
Can Ken just hang out at the board meetings? Is that okay?
They're public meetings, right?
As a public member, he can. Ken, do you want a motion?
Ken and Bruce have to come back more often then.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one motion by Ken. Do I have a second? I will second that so that no one else has to do that.
All right.
Ken.
Aye.
Okay. Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Thelma.
Aye.
Anthony, consent item E, unfortunately, has been approved. So, Farnaz, do you want to discuss any upcoming dates and announcements?
I think on item E, I want to one more time appreciate you, Ken, and please don't stay away long and come back as often as possible. And if you know of people who would be strong board members, this is to everybody. We need people with diversity, equity, and inclusion backgrounds. We need people who have an experience in recruitment, creative recruitment, and will be able to support us in our efforts to support staffing. So, Ken, anytime you want to come back. I think we've grown a lot together these few years, and I hope that you'll miss us and want to come back. Know that there's a space for you.
All right.
Thank you. And so with that, the next board meeting is going to be July 21st. It will again be a virtual board meeting. And we have the upcoming committee meetings. And I think at the last board meeting, we approved all of the upcoming board meetings. So that's just to make you aware of that. And with that, we can open up for appreciations. I'm going to stop sharing so we can.
Well, I'll just once again thank everybody for the warm send off and good wishes, and I wish you all the best. And indeed, I will not be a stranger, and look forward to really contributing in other ways. So it's been a great journey. It's an awesome year. You guys are on an amazing trajectory, and I'm excited to see how it evolves.
Thank you, Ken. You're awesome.
I want to appreciate all the leaders, our four principals, and Beth, because she stepped in for principal several times throughout this year, for their leadership of our schools during yet another tumultuous year. They've been really prioritizing community needs consistently and caring for our students in a beautiful way, and I'm super grateful for their leadership. Casey and Kim, we're going to miss you tremendously at these meetings. And I also want to thank Danielle for her leadership of our priority selection process. This will be coming to you all soon, but our priority for the coming year is looking like it's going to be focusing on critical thinking through intellectual preparation. And we'll have more information on this soon, but it's very exciting. And as the four disciplines of execution would ask, is it a wildly important goal that is more important than anything else? I think there's consensus on that amongst our team. So it's very exciting, and I want to appreciate Danielle's leadership of that effort.
I want to appreciate all our young leaders that are at this meeting today. I think it's really powerful for you to participate in these meetings and learn about the organizational structure of ECS in this way. I think it's really neat to see Gabby on the line. I love that Michael's here. I love that, well, Jeremiah has been here for a long time, but this is my first meeting in a long time. So I think it's really cool that new leaders are coming to the table and joining us at these meetings. Robert, it's great to see you here. Jen, my God, I feel like you've learned an incredible amount in such a short amount of time. And yeah, Danielle, you've like stepped right into this new role. I'm so proud of all of you. You guys rock. Farnaz, thank you.
I want to say thank you to Robert and Jen and Tracy, you know, for the presentation on the LCAP. That was fantastic. Jeremiah, for all your preparation. And of course, Dorothy and Danielle for your presentations. I also want to thank the principals who remained on the call, because I know they're long days. And also the board members. The number of votes today, which I think are 8, is a longer number of votes, it seems like, than normal. So thank you for all the motions and all the votes.
Can I just, on behalf of the principal, say thank you to Ken, and then say thank you to Casey, and like we'll say our goodbyes offline, Casey. But I will say that like having the privilege and responsibility of like filling in for her for a few months at the high school, it was very clear that the fact that that school is like the flagship school that has these results that are like amazing, that I think like benefit all of our schools and our entire organization, was clearly not happenstance. Like, it's by design and like unapologetic alignment to the creation of sustainable systems that are like mission aligned, and like it's like Casey does the work, and I think I learned a lot from her, like working with her, and I learned a lot from her by trying to somewhat fill in her shoes for a few months, because I learned a lot of what she had in place, and so I just want to publicly appreciate that.
Casey, it's really cool to see you still on the line.
I also want to appreciate Casey. This is an opportunity to do a public love fest. That how much just I genuinely appreciate you, not only just as a leader, but also as a colleague and a friend. Times that I've been able to reach out to you to just get principal advice, mother advice. So I just want to say, like, you've left a legacy. You've definitely left an impact. And thank you for all that you have done for the organization and for the people around you. I also want to shout out the directors. It has been a trying year for everyone. And I will unapologetically say it was a very trying year for principals. And we all made it. And I'm so proud of each and every one of us. And a large part of that had to do with directors, because there were moments where we're like, we need you to step in. We need you to be us today. And it was never a no. It was a, okay, let me see who or when or how long. And I really appreciate that. I know a lot of principals and administrators did not have that level of support for their home office. And that is a big deal. And that definitely has a positive impact on the morale and the climate of the principals here at our school sites. So thank you.
Just wanted to give a really quick shout out to Robert, if that's cool. Robert has been extremely helpful in just preparing data. And like in my previous role, I was like doing all that myself. And I always tell Robert that like I wish every organization had a Robert and everyone had a Robert to work with. And honestly, like the things that we've been coming up with are so much more compelling than what I was able to do without Robert. So I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
I also just want to say thank you so much to Farnaz and Danielle and Beth and Allison. It's been such an honor and a pleasure working for so many incredibly strong, inspirational women and mothers. And I'm super grateful. And Ken, I messaged you on chat, but I just want to say thank you so much for all your leadership. I remember the first board meeting that I went to as a teacher when I first started at our organization. And you're pressing Amy Frame on some like real serious questions about our best practices and teacher performance. And I was like, whoa, okay. This is what I'm stepping into. And I feel like you've never stopped challenging us to make us all better. So thank you so much for keeping our data, but especially like our students and our organization and its well-being in all these different ways at the forefront of your mind and for always making all of us better. But thank you to everybody. And I really appreciate having been part of this team. Thanks for everything.
All right. I think that's a good way to wrap this up. I think with that, one last motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn. It's Madhu.
Thank you, Madhu. Do I have a second?
A second.
All right, Ken, way to finish it off with your last motion.
Yeah.
All right, Ken.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Thelma.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. We have approved to adjourn. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful weekend, and much success.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday, Anthony.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Going out to dinner now.
Hey.
Bye.